Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Serious topic today, but we are really honored to have to be talking about this morning in Powerhouse here, along with Eric Olson, the Commonwealth's attorney in Stafford County, and David Decatur, the sheriff in Stafford. Good morning to all of you.
Good morning, Ted. Thank you for having us.
Good morning.
Kathy, I'll start off with you because this is as I see, when I saw this a few weeks back, I just thought this is really exciting and something we've kind of and you have talked about over the years of wanting to do more of these kind of things and to pull this off with Stafford and to create a partnership here that we're going to talk about this morning. This is really exciting.
Thank you. I'm really grateful that you're having us on the show and grateful that everyone could make it and arrange their schedules. But we do have a partnership, and it consists of really and a whole set of folks in Stafford County and also Mary Washington Healthcare. So with the Sheriff's Office several years ago, they offered in Powerhouse a desk space. So a space where we could do our work and greet survivors of domestic violence, essentially, right in their office. This is a great opportunity for us to have outreach in the community, to be local, and not have to spend some time driving to meet up with a victim. Well, we weren't able to staff that at the time. Certainly, we've had these very strong partnerships with the county offices for some time, and that's because we have great people in those offices. And as a result, there's a lot of progress that can be made on this crime of domestic violence and supporting survivors of domestic violence.
Well, and I guess one of the things, and we'll get in this with the sheriff and with the Commonwealth Attorney's Office about how this works, but just you having a presence there, I think, just changes a lot of the dynamics.
So it's huge. How it came about, really. I mean, we've partnered well for years. We had a staffer, Susan Sigmund, at the Stafford Sheriff's Office, and she was providing training, and as a result of that training, she was in the building, and a pretty severe instance of domestic violence family came in, mom with her kids. And at that time, they were saying, well, you know, I think we have somebody from Empower House in the building. So Susan was able to greet that family and kind of get the ball rolling on, you know, making sure they got the services they needed, the safety planning, and also then started that case where an arrest was made, charges, investigation, and all of that. So I really believe that we have this opportunity for really great outcomes for, you know, what we've all been working toward for some time is making sure, to the extent we can, that survivors of domestic violence have that opportunity for safety, that they have resources, and that they're treated sensitively and well, and sort of on the other side, that offender will have accountability, mm-hmm. and really that it increases everyone's safety, that's taken care of.
Sheriff, thank you for your office recognizing this. Your office has done a lot of these things over the years, and a lot of times you don't make a big deal about them. You just implement them and do them, and this thank you for recognizing what this kind of partnership would mean to victims of domestic violence.
Yeah, we're very grateful for the partnership we have with the Commonwealth Attorney's Office for many years and Empower House. And Empower House, they do an incredible job. And we're all about providing a compassionate service to victims of domestic violence and also holding the perpetrator accountable, you know, for domestic violence. And it's a great partnership. You know, we're stronger together and we can provide a better service working together. Having Empower House in our building makes it more approachable and accessible to victims and people who have problems, and having that availability and having them there is making a huge difference for folks in our community. We're all about providing the best care that we can. And we're dedicated to our community and to the people who need the help. And we're just trying to be creative and innovative and coming up with ways that we can do a better job.
Boy, and Eric Olson, this shows the fact that you two are able to – this doesn't work if there's not a cooperation between your office in the sheriff's office.
That's true, Ted. That relationship goes back so long. Both the sheriff and I have been there for 30 years, and we've been working together for that long. Kathy, almost that long. When did we first
– maybe it was 27 years.
Yeah, 20. So Kathy was an advocate for RCDV, the Rappahannock Council on Domestic Violence, and would be in the courtroom. So we would have the cases after our arrest was made, and there's a lot of challenges in a domestic violence case. And good training and good partnership and good conversation between all the different players enabled us to do our main mission. We as prosecutors are in the accountability business. And if an offender is not accountable for what he or she does, then we've done nothing to affect it happening in the future. And there are a lot of challenges involved with it, but with a good investigation and good advocacy from Empower House, we're able to communicate with the victim, find that common ground that allows us to go forward and hold the offender accountable. And sometimes that means going to jail. Sometimes it means, in just about every case, it means some sort of court intervention with a domestic violence program, counseling, and intervention to try to prevent it from happening in the future. Our office is an office of prosecutors and support staff, but we also have a victim witness office, and they work closely with the sheriff's office and Empower House, and we have a role separate from criminal charges sometimes where women seeking protective orders when there hasn't necessarily been a charge of domestic violence come and try to get the court to issue a protective order. We assist in that. So it's just another example of how we all work together, I think, very well.
Well, and you always hear, especially in these domestic violence cases, one of the big challenges is getting to court. That a lot of times that's the challenge, and it would seem like here right from the start that you're able to put a lot of people at ease and to be able to get the ball rolling in that sense, and this seems like just so justice can be done. This is a great setup.
It is true. It usually it starts with a 911 call, but in many domestic violence cases, as soon as the sheriff's office arrives, for a myriad of different reasons, that cooperation that began with a 911 call starts, it gets cut back a little bit. And by the time it gets to court, sometimes there's actually an adversarial relationship between the victim and the system. Because what they think is going to happen is something that is very scary for a lot of different reasons. Sometimes it's because of the influence of the offender. Sometimes it's because of the domestic circumstances within the family with children and finances. And I think all our goal is to make sure that we find that common ground with the victim. Every single victim wants the same thing. They don't want to get hit again. They don't want to have to call 911, and they want the violence to stop. And that's what we want too. And that's a good starting point for that common ground of what can we do within the court system to try to help reach that goal. Victims want it. The system wants it. And most offenders say they want it. And so I think it's a good starting point for what we're doing.
We're talking about a partnership between Empower House and the Commonwealth's Attorney's Office and the Sheriff's Office in Stafford County. Eric Olson is here, the Commonwealth's Attorney, David Decatur, the Sheriff, and Kathy Anderson with Empower House. We need to take a break. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Kathy Anderson, Eric Olson, and David Decatur in here this morning. We're talking about a partnership between Empower House, the Commonwealth's Attorney's Office in Stafford, and also the Stafford Sheriff's Office. Boy, Kathy, when I think about when we first, years ago, when we first started talking about these issues, these were like dreams of yours to have these kind of partnerships and to work with law enforcement and like you're able to do now.
You know, I was just thinking about it. If I didn't say grateful, I'm going to say it again. I am so grateful to have these two great folks on the radio together, but more importantly that, you know, we have had a longstanding relationship of cooperation, but now really being able to put all that expertise and all that good, you know, good relationships to work on behalf of the people who need it. And so with this partnership and how we've strengthened it in some ways has to do with a grant that we received. Stafford County partnered, as did Mary Washington Healthcare. We were able to give a forensic nurse to their program that was really needing a boost, needing kind of more coverage. So we're able to get that to 24 hours. And that forensic nurse is really important to evidence collection, to sensitive treatment of victims, for injuries. It's also very important to some of the initiatives that we have coming up. And, you know, by the fact that we have this opportunity to partner in an even greater fashion. And I will say not because of money that's flowing into either of the two offices represented here today from Stafford County. It is their goodwill that allows us to bring in sort of some new initiatives mm-hmm. that are paid for, but again, not with new personnel. That's the goodwill and the you know resources they're dedicating just because it's important to them.
Sheriff, when Eric Olson in the last segment was talking just about the challenges to sometimes get these cases to court, I just thinking about changes. You and I have talked about law enforcement, a lot of changes over the years and just how you respond to different things. I'm sure that just on the domestic violence front, just the training that your officers have received over the years has changed in this one. You know more and you approach it a lot different than you probably did when you first got into law enforcement.
Yeah, the training is very important. And as Eric had mentioned earlier, it really begins with the call coming into our call takers in the 911 Emergency Operations Center. And once we get those calls, it's important to gather as much information, our call takers, to gather, you know, as much pertinent information as they can. And that will dictate our response to the call. And then with the deputies responding, it's very important how they respond to the call. And when they arrive, you know, gathering, information and then how they handle the call. And that's where the training comes in. We want to make sure our folks have empathy and they're compassionate and they're caring, but they also, you know, these type of calls, they have to be on their guard because they can turn very quickly and they're very unpredictable, you know, because when emotions are high, logic mm-hmm. is low. And when you're dealing with people who are emotionally, you know, worked up, and then you may have victims who have been abused, and not just the physical abuse. Most of the time, when you think of domestic violence, I think people's minds go to a physical abuse, but there's a lot of psychological and emotional abuse, and many of these victims are beaten down, you know, not just physically but mentally as well. And they have many times they could be depressed. It could lead to depression or loneliness and all these kind of things. So we're having to contend with a lot of different emotions that are going on. So it's very important that we get it right. And then the collecting of evidence when we're there, you know, whether it's taking the information and getting the parties, of course, separated for protection and making sure that we're just catering to the victim and then trying to determine who's the predominant abuser or the aggressor. And so there's a number of things that we have to get right on the front end, and we owe it to the victims to do our very best. So it starts with training and that culture of compassion and, you know, just making sure that we get as much as we can correct so we can help, you know, Eric and his team when it comes to court and the advocates and all the folks who are partnered with us.
That's interesting. You both depend on each other so much in this. It's got to be done right.
Oh, absolutely. It has to be right. It's so important. Many, and we'll probably talk about it in a little bit, but we're fortunate not to have very many homicides in our county, but many homicides are a direct correlation to either a family dispute or domestic violence. We had one earlier this year, and so, you know, very quickly things can escalate, and, you know, we want to do as much as we can to prevent. And, you know, in law enforcement, in crime prevention is always at the forefront, and that involves education and risk reduction and trying to help victims and helping folks, you know, identify if they're a victim or they're in, if there could be a potential victim or if they're in a relationship that's not healthy, you know. And, you know, there's many indicators there. You know, for an example, if there's a person who's in a relationship and they are fearful of their partner, I mean, that's a pretty strong indicator that it's not a healthy relationship. You know, if you're walking on eggshells in that relationship and you're afraid of what you're going to say or do because that person's going to blow up, you know, that is another indicator that the relationship you may be in is not healthy. But we want to be there to help as much as we can. And anytime we can prevent any act of violence, we want to do that. And then, you know, unfortunately, when it happens, we want to help mitigate and help those people work through it. Our goal when we get there is to make sure everyone is safe and protected. We want to restore order, but we also want to make sure we direct, you know, victims and folks who may be involved in a relationship that could be heading in that direction to give them the resources they need and direct them to the right people.
But I think a lot of us, we don't think of all that officers go through. I mean, whether it's the danger of not knowing what's going to happen at a traffic stop to walking into these kind of situations where, boy, to restore order sometimes is a tough chore.
Right. And, you know, victims, they're under a lot of pressure, too. I mean, a lot of pressure. You know, it may be financial pressure or they may have been beaten down. And it's important for our deputies to know there's a lot of things that have occurred before we've even been contacted. So you may be dealing with a victim or you may be dealing with people who have gone through a tough time and they're fearful of reprisal, you know, from the abuser, or maybe the extended family may be putting pressure on them as well. Or it could be financially, or it could be the psychological abuse where they feel like they've been beaten down to a point where they feel like no one would want them or would help them. And we want to be that, we want to bridge that gap, and we want to help them as much as we can.
But and Eric, you touched on it just between that call and then when you take the case and just the pressures of I'm sure just thinking through, okay, if we go through with this and you know, what's the future hold?
You know, it's trying to understand those dynamics that the sheriff just talked about and that Kathy has talked about that is so important. One of the benefits of having done this for so long is to see the trajectory of these investigations and the way they're handled. And, you know, quite frankly, more than 30 years ago, if there was a domestic violence call, a deputy or law enforcement officer all across the country would respond. They would ask the victim, do you want to have him arrested? The victim invariably would say no, and they would walk away. Because law enforcement is used to having victims cooperate, and so they ask the victim, do you want to cooperate? And if they say no, then they walk away. And we learned a long time ago that that doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help the victim. It doesn't help the offender. It doesn't help the children that are exposed to domestic violence. And I remember in 1990, Sheriff Williams, it was 91, Sheriff Williams enacted a policy within the sheriff's office that their deputies no longer would handle cases that way. It was kind of called a mandatory arrest. It doesn't mean you have to make an arrest. What it means is if you have probable cause and that an assault occurred, then you will make an arrest unless you have a good reason. Basically, you don't leave it up to the victim any longer. And that policy was enacted in Stafford County. Our prosecutors stopped asking victims, do you want to proceed with the case? Do you want the case dropped? We would start communicating with the victims to get on the same page, to find common ground. And that transition, which was based on seeing what was working and what wasn't working, I think has really helped to communicate with victims, to suppress the incidents of domestic violence, and hopefully to make sure that those calls are less frequently. So it's the knowledge about the way things work and don't work that have really helped. And when every time we go into court, our goal is to have a conversation with that victim, to find the common ground, to hold the offender accountable, and to do it in such a way that the victim walks away thinking that there was a measure of justice administered. As I said, no one wants to get hit again, and if we can find a way to help the victim understand that we're there to help, it's an important step towards trying to reach our ultimate goal, which is to stop that 911 call to begin with, to stop that abuse from happening.
Well, and when you said that at first, and that's what we're dealing with, you know, not to be hit again. You just think about that. I mean, to live in that kind of an environment is just terrifying. Just think about it.
And the sheriff talked about the psychological pressure and abuse and emotional abuse. It is such a huge component of it. The control that's involved in a domestic violence situation is the key component to that relationship. Offender and victim or survivor, whatever you call that person, that aspect of control. And it comes with the fear of getting hit. It comes with the fear of losing your children. It comes with the fear of not being able to function as either a family unit or as an individual because of the fear and the influence that offender has had. And anybody that knows anything about domestic violence knows it's about control. And that control comes ultimately with a physical abuse, but it begins and it infused in the entire relationship is that aspect of control. Kathy certainly can talk about it a lot better than I can, but it's been through Empower House's training and our relationship that we our prosecutors understand it and the sheriff's office understand it. That's one of the things that this partnership does. It allows deputies that have never been exposed to what we're talking about now to start learning it. And when they learn it, they see it when they respond to these calls and they begin to understand it.
Kathy, I want to get your thoughts on this, but we need to take a break. Wow, this is good stuff. And you hear this and you just think, Stafford County is in really good hands.
Yes.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Sheriff Decatur's here, Eric Olson, the Commonwealth's attorney, and Kathy Anderson with Empower House here this morning. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Kathy Anderson, Eric Olson, and David Decatur in here this morning. We're talking about Empower House and their work and their partnership with the Sheriff's Office and the Commonwealth's Attorney's Office in Stafford County. Wow, Kathy, in that last segment, that was one of the best segments we've ever had on this show of just really laying out the you and I have talked about that. I never will forget some of the stories you've told me about women who will say to you, you know, things are getting better. You know, I'm only getting hit once a month now.
Absolutely.
Or things like that. And these are to hear it it's hard to hear, but there are people, you know, probably in this audience that live in these kind of situations.
I'm going to tell you a story about a woman I worked with years ago. I do want to say that when you in the room now with the Stafford Sheriff's Office and Stafford Commonwealth Attorney's Office, when those top officials are able to articulate this crime and its dynamics better than I can, I know I'm in like the best situation we possibly could be with serving survivors of domestic violence in Stafford County. And because we're in that situation, we have this opportunity to kind of take it to the next level. So in terms of victim safety and in terms of officer safety, because I really think you get officer safety when you improve victim safety, we have some initiatives coming up. And one of them is a Strangulation Institute training to prevent strangulation. And that'll happen in March of next year. And then that's followed by the lethality assessment protocol called LAP with the Attorney General's office. It's a protocol we're going to roll out where the sheriff's office will provide a particular screening on when they are at domestic violence crimes. And then that triggers, depending on the answers to those questions, an actual pick up the phone, dialing the advocate, getting Empower House on the phone with that victim right on the scene. And that is an evidence-based strategy that will provide just opportunities we've never been able to see before in Stafford County. So we're going to roll that out next year. You might wonder, well, what's the deal with strangulation? Like, why would we tackle that? Maybe it's obvious, but strangulation increases the likelihood of lethality in domestic violence situations. I've heard it quoted as 750%. I mean, the idea that a homicide could take place after strangulation or because of strangulation is very prevalent now in our conversations. So there was a victim I worked with years ago. I don't know if I've told you about her, but I remember taking a hotline call, and she had just been strangled, and we were talking about, you know, where he was and what was going on, and apparently he'd been arrested and then released. He came right back to the house. She was holding her infant child, and she assumed that because she was holding her infant child, he would back off. He came at her. He wrapped his arms around her neck. She fell to the ground. So I can't even imagine where her child was at this point. As he was on top of her and strangling her, she was passing out, and she thought to herself, I will be on the news tonight as a statistic. Apparently, she did pass out. She came to. She managed to grab her child, and she actually jumped out her window. She was on the first floor of an apartment, and she ran to the rental office. That is how we got involved. That's how law enforcement was able to come back. She was really focused on sort of the immediate ways of where am I going to go? How am I going to get safe? What am I going to do with my child? But she wasn't at all focused on the medical piece. So one of the things we did was, and we're not in the business of convincing people to do things, but for her, we were able to say, before you come into our domestic violence shelter, you really need to go to the hospital. And it's another reason why our partnership with the hospital is so strong. So she did go to the emergency department. They were able to treat injuries that you can't see typically with strangulation. They're below the skin, the likelihood of brain swelling, the likelihood that a person could die from that is significant. So she got her treatment at the hospital. She was released. Because of the evidence they collected at the hospital, there was not a chance that when that went to trial, they weren't able to do something to really bring some accountability. During the time that he did spend in jail, she was able to get on her feet and kind of move on from this incident and really put her life back together, which is a very difficult thing. As Eric was describing earlier, when you have someone relentless and controlling, you know, when they're available and on, you know, sort of in the picture, it's very hard to move on and set your life up. And so I just wanted to say that we're so lucky in Stafford County that we're able to roll out some of these initiatives. And I'm sure our partners can speak to that as well.
Well, I know just I think it's in the spring when Eric, I think it's your office. So you recognize some of these cases where some of these people are just the heroic things they've done just to survive. And that's a very, I don't know that anybody else in this area does that. And so this isn't like this just came up a year ago and you thought, oh, let's jump onto this. This has been something that you've been involved in. And just the way the two, like Kathy said, the way the two of you talk about this, this isn't just something you've picked up in the last 6 months. This has been your career.
Well, it's one of the advantages of being in office for so long and having the sheriff be there so long. And you know, we've been walking hand in hand down this road of trying to help victims for decades. And you mentioned our event in the spring. Every April, the second week in April is Crime Victims Rights Week. And 5 years ago, we decided not just to, you know, put out a flyer about it, but actually to infuse it with some stories. And we have a presentation every year at this event where we give a Survivor's Award. It's called the Molly Gill Award. Molly Gill tragically died in a alcohol-related driving accident. And She was an amazing young lady, 15 years old, and so the award is named after her. And 3 years ago, the award was given to an individual that was a victim of domestic violence, very serious domestic violence. She thought she was going to die that day, and she was fortunate enough to be able to talk her estranged husband out of killing her. And we went on an incredible journey through that court system that lasted for years. He was convicted and spent 7 years in prison. She was able to get beyond that abuse, began volunteering for Empower House and now is a key component of the domestic violence agency that serves victims in the whole area. And she was one of the recipients of this award 3 years ago, and just a way to recognize the resilience that we see in our victims in general, but particularly in our domestic violence victims. And, you know, it's tragic when those victims can't climb out of that abuse, but when they can, it really is inspiring. And the resilience that we see in our victims, the ones that climb out of it and even the ones that bear it, are it truly remarkable.
Well, and your office also has, I'm assuming you still have, you have the dog in the courthouse that's a seemingly small thing, but it was at one of those. It was at one of those awards that you talked about the dog, and I just thought that, you know, that's thinking of every little thing that can help.
And, you know, all of us think about how can we serve as victims, and 5 years ago we got a courthouse dog. You know, most people understand that service dogs can help people with disabilities, mm-hmm. veterans that are injured. And years ago, they realized that certain dogs can provide comfort to people that have experienced trauma. And as soon as I heard about the program, we applied. We have a service dog, Khan, that has been with us. And Khan services our customers, our victims in the court system. If we have a child that is having to tell their story, to talk to strangers, to relive the worst thing that ever happened to them, the comforting influence of a dog, certainly Khan, makes that job easier. And when we got Khan, we were really focused on our child victims. But one thing we quickly learned is our domestic violence victims get as much comfort and relief and ease from dealing with us in the system, with our comfort dog, our service dog being available, than our child victims. It truly is remarkable. And the stories that they report to us on the way that having that comforting presence of the dog help them get through the system is really inspiring.
Sheriff, it would be so easy for you, Sheriff Decatur, with us this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA, along with Eric Olson, the Commonwealth's attorney in Stafford County. It would be so the one thing it would be so easy for you or your office to just say, you know, we'll do what we have to, but we're so overworked. We don't have the state hasn't given us enough deputies, and it would be so easy for you to do that on a number of things. But this initiative and a lot of the initiatives you do, thank you for what you're doing, in this area.
Thank you for your kind words. And it's way too important for us not to do our very best. As a matter of fact, in October, we hired a full-time position, a domestic violence and child abuse advocate. It's a civilian position. And we added her to our team along with Empower House. And then we have a detective who is dedicated to working domestic violent crimes as well. But the advocate that we hired, she has a great background. You know, she was an executive director of Safe Harbor Child Advocacy Center. And she comes with experience, and she knows how to help victims. And as we mentioned earlier, you know, victims, and for most people, going to court and going through the system can be very intimidating. So you have a person there who can help you go through that and educate you and help you navigate through all of that. But we're there with you. And then the Commonwealth Attorney's Office with their folks helping it along the way is very important. And having that team together, it really makes a huge difference. And another thing I want to add too as well, we try to leverage technology to do the best we can to serve our victims. And one way of doing that is using photography, as it was mentioned earlier by Kathy. You know, when you're a victim of abuse, like strangulation, for an example, when a deputy arrives and begins the process of taking a report and investigating the crime or the potential crime, the bruises aren't prevalent. They're not there, you know, many times. And then you have to go back later and take pictures and gather additional evidence. But with the technology available now, we have photography that can capture the bruises that are under the skin that aren't clear.
Wow.
Yeah, that aren't clear to the naked eye. And so me in my position as the sheriff, you know, I take my cues and take information from our folks who are out investigating and doing the work. And, you know, we try to be good stewards of taxpayer money. But when you can use technology that can make a huge difference in the prosecution of an offender, it's really important. So across the board, having the team together, having the partnership, taking advantage of technology that can help is very important.
Pam Garrett, isn't that who you hired from Safe Harbor that's now you're on your staff?
Oh, yeah. Pam does an amazing job.
Yes, she does.
And she tries to get to each victim within 24 hours after she receives the report, the information. She's quickly notifying them and getting to them quickly and helping them and collecting additional information and trying to put them at ease. It's a very difficult situation for many victims, and having someone with that background and education and training is very important because we want to do our best. We want to serve victims and everyone in the community, you know, as I mentioned earlier.
Kathy, you know, we talk about, you know, what's the great programs in Stafford County. It also needs to be said that we're lucky in this area to have you and Empower House. Not every community has these kind of partnerships, and not every community, unfortunately, has a Kathy Anderson, and they can't have Kathy Anderson. She has to stay here. But or Empower House.
Right. So, you know, we are the Domestic Violence Services Program. We're a nonprofit organization. We've been around for over 40 years. Certainly the great foresight of its founders, several women and a man locally who got that started. We had a radio program on them not too long ago. But because there was a response created, a lot has been accomplished over the years, and certainly the organization has grown. I want to say that part of the current partnership and that allows us to place a staffer over at the Stafford Sheriff's Office is a grant that we received that Mary Washington Hospital asked us to submit. And so we worked with them on the application. County Administrator Thomas Foley in Stafford County, he signed off on the application. There wasn't any money flowing into the county with this grant. With our partnership, we are able to send folks to some training and also pay for some training to come here, which is great. But it is a U.S. Department of Justice Office on Violence Against Women grant called Improved Criminal Justice Response. And the Sheriff Decatur, and the Commonwealth Attorney Eric Olson signed off on that, as did the Victim Witness Office, Marilyn Dufresne. And so we're able to do some initiatives right now that we weren't able to do in the past. And even as you mentioned, you know, with the sheriff dedicating resources, and he talked about his new advocate and the initiatives, you know, they are putting in resources from these two offices to make these initiatives come forward. And we wouldn't be able to do the lethality assessment protocol without the sheriff saying, okay, well, you don't really have money to do this, but, you know, this is an important next step in our efforts to keep victims safe, to prevent homicides, as Eric was talking about. So we just really appreciate we have this level of cooperation among our partners.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We only have a few minutes left. We need to take a break. Unfortunately, this is such important information. When we come back, we'll wrap it up, and Kathy, I'll have you give some numbers, too, of how people can get in touch with Empower House if they need it. Kathy Anderson here, Eric Olson, Stafford's Commonwealth's attorney, and David Decatur, Stafford's sheriff here. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
David Decatur, Eric Olson, and Kathy Anderson here this morning. We're talking about a partnership between Empower House and Stafford County. Eric Olson, the Commonwealth's attorney, David Decatur, is the sheriff. Before we run out of time, Kathy, if there are people who, whether it's themselves or know people that needs to know about Empower House, there are some numbers and things that we should have probably given before now.
543-9373 is the crisis line. That's 540 area code. So 540-373-9373. And powerhouseva.org is another way to look us up and get that information. And our number is 24 hours. So at any time someone's able to make that call, it will be answered.
Eric Olson, you were just telling just an interesting story about your mother working at this radio station back in the 70s. But then this whole thing has there's a connection with this is more than just us talking about a topic. I mean, you grew up with this kind of thing, just with her involvement.
Sitting here, it really has come full circle. In the 1970s, my mother worked at WFEA in this very building where we're sitting right now, and she left this job to start working at the Crisis Center, which was a nonprofit, first one in Fredericksburg. It manned a hotline. Folks that have been here a long time remember the advertisement for the hotline. So my roots run real deep in Fredericksburg and trying to help victims. And it all was kind of flooding back.
Well, and it's so interesting because it's the passion that you and the sheriff have talked about this issue. If I'm a victim, I just feel like there are two people in this county and way more in your offices but that understand and care and want to help.
Well, sometimes it's hard to communicate with domestic violence victims because of that dynamic of control. We haven't walked in their shoes. My prosecutors know we don't judge. We just try to communicate. But, you know, if there's any message that we try to get out is that you do not deserve this. And for some victims, it's the first time they've heard anybody say that to them. You don't deserve this. And then the next conversation is, you know, what can we do to try to help? And that's what the sheriff does. It's certainly what Empower House is all about. And I think by working together, we do as much as we can.
We need to do more of this. Eric Olson, thank you for coming in. Sheriff, you and your staff have just always, I mean, when you talk about training and them being able, you and them coming in here and articulating issues, thank you for what you do.
Oh, thank you. And one thing I want to add, it takes a community to help victims. And in Powerhouse, they need the funding. They're an incredible organization. They have a shelter, and they have to pay an outrageous amount of money to keep it going. So people in the community want to help. Please contribute to Empowerhouse.
Empowerhouseva.org. Empowerhouseva.org. 373-9373 is the number. Kathy Anderson, Eric Olson, the Commonwealth's Attorney, David Decatur, the Sheriff in Stafford. Thank you so much for what you do. Thank you.
Thank you, Ted.
We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. The financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.